Good morning, folks. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 12. And the question for today's message is, do we put our own expectations of how God should answer our prayers? Now, I know that's a difficult question to answer, but if we'll really take a step back and think about how we pray, a lot of times when we pray, we've already got an expectation in our mind of how God should answer and how God would answer. So we've already kind of put God within our own framework and kind of limited him on how he would answer the prayer. Now, my question to you might not make any sense right now, but as we go through this message, I hope and pray that I can get the point across to where it will make some sense to you. So now in Acts chapter 12, we know that at the beginning of the chapter, that Herod had stretched forth his hand against certain of the church, and he had killed James, the apostle James, which was John's brother. And it says in verse 3, and it says, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." So the Passover had begun when he took Peter. So he was allowing the Jews to observe the Passover, and then Herod's plan was after Passover, he would bring Peter before the Jews, make a public spectacle of him, have a mock trial, publicly humiliate him, and then publicly execute him. Now, that was Herod's plan, and that's what the Jews wanted to see. And we know that Peter was put in the prison. There were 16 soldiers assigned to be sure that Peter was securely in that prison. Now, we go to verse 5, and it says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Now, we know that Peter seemed like he was in an absolutely hopeless situation. But however, the church on Peter's behalf was unceasingly praying for him. Now, we don't know if the church all met together as one and prayed together. We don't know if they met in, if they split it up in shifts. We don't know how that prayer was organized, but we do know that the church earnestly prayed for him. They effectively prayed for him, and that prayer was without ceasing. And then we know that the angel came we don't know at what hour of the night, but the light of the Lord shined into the prison, as it says in verse 7, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands." And we know the Lord sent the angel to rescue Peter out of that jail. Now, and we know that the angel led Peter out of the jail, got out of the gate, and led him into the street where he was no doubt out of harm, and then the angel departed. Now, and it says in verse 13, "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda." And it says, "And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." Now, what I want you to notice about this here is Rhoda obviously didn't understand the expediency of bringing Peter to safety, because here she is. She recognizes Peter's voice, but does she open the door for Peter? No, she runs in and says, "Oh, Peter's outside." Well, she was obviously not thinking straight, because she should have let Peter in first. But anyway, that's not the point. But we go on and it says, in verse 15, it says, "And they said unto her, Thou art mad." In other words, the people that was there praying looked Rhoda straight in the eye and said, "Rhoda, you're crazy. There's no way that Peter is outside. For Peter is in a hopeless situation, and there's no way that's him." They basically said, "You're crazy." And it said, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." And they said, okay, maybe it's Peter's angel. Now, this is not to say that the church was praying without faith. It's very likely that when the church was praying for Peter, they had an expectation in their mind of maybe that Herod would have a change of heart, or maybe one of his superiors from Rome would give him different instructions of how to deal with Peter, or maybe the Jews had come to Herod and said, "No, Gamaliel has spoke here. His instructions of leave these men alone, like he had instructed earlier." Maybe Gamaliel had spoken. The Jews had said, "No, leave Peter alone." No. And then that might have been the expectations of the church. But when Peter was literally standing outside of the house, knocking on the door, they would not believe that it was Peter. That was not what they were expecting. So friends, when you and I pray, we need to learn to understand, to leave the answer up to God and not put when we pray, put God in a little framework of our own mind, of how our mind works, to say, "God, we might not audibly say this, but we'll say it in our heart and we'll say it in our mind, that God, we expect you to answer this prayer this way, and we expect it to benefit me this way." Now, we don't know a lot of times how God answers prayers, but we need to leave the way he answers our prayers up to his will. And we know that when one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray as John's disciples pray." Now, what I find interesting about that, here's one of these disciples basically admitting he doesn't know how to pray. And have we ever thought to ourselves that there may have been a time in our life where we thought we knew how to pray, but we really didn't know how to pray? But Jesus' answer to this disciples, he says, "When you pray," he doesn't say "if you pray," he says, "When you pray, pray in like manner. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Do you realize that we're to pray for the Lord to come back? And then after we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when we say that, you and I need to take a good long look in the mirror and ask ourselves, do we really mean what we say when we repeat that prayer and we recite that prayer that says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Because God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven starts with me. And it starts with you. If you and I aren't doing God's will, then God's will isn't being done on earth as it's being done in heaven. So see, friends, we need to learn to pray according to God's will. And then when we pray, we need to allow God to answer according to his will. And we don't put any expectations on it. Because a lot of times God will answer our prayer, but he didn't answer it in the way that we expected. And then we become cold-hearted, we become bitter, and we become angry. Because sometimes that answer is not to our benefit. It might have been to someone else else's benefit, but we failed to take a step back and look at the big picture. But what we're really doing is just truly looking at ourselves. But see, friends, we need to learn to allow God to answer our prayers according to His will, and we be accepting of ever how He chooses to answer that prayer. And it goes on, and it says in verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. So here's Peter outside. He doesn't know whether he's got people chasing after him or whether there's been a, if you will, an all points bulletin put out for his life. We don't know. He's out here still earnestly knocking on the door. And it says, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. In other words, they were shocked. I can't believe this is Peter. Well, friends, God will answer our prayers in ways that will absolutely amaze us. If we will just learn to pray according to His will and learn to leave the results up to Him. But then it says in verse 17, but he being Peter, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace. In other words, they were so amazed that they were making so much noise that Peter was concerned that his enemies, or the church's enemies, would hear the noise. So he says, and it says, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. So Peter was giving him their testimony. His testimony of how the angel shined a light into that prison, smote him on the side, broke his chains of bondage, led him out of the prison. He spared his life because of God's grace, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And Peter was testifying to that, and he was basically testifying to the fact that he was in a hopeless situation. He was completely bound. There was no man that could help him. And it was God Almighty that came in and rescued him. Now, I know, friends, that you and I, we find ourselves in seemingly hopeless situations at times in our life. It might be a medical diagnosis. It might be a family issue. It might be a job issue. We don't know what it might be, but we will find ourselves in what seems to be hopeless situations in our life. And friends, my prayer to you is when we encounter those hopeless situations, it is very tempting to give up praying, especially if it's something that we have prayed about for years and years and years. It is very tempting to give up praying. But friends, the Bible teaches us that if we seek God, we will find Him if we seek Him with all our heart. In other words, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters but finding God. And that's the way God wants us to seek Him. That's the way God wants us to pursue Him. So if you find yourself in what seems to be like a hopeless situation, do not give up praying. Continue to seek God's face, to seek Him with your whole heart, and let God answer according to His will. Don't put expectations on how God should answer your prayer. Allow God to answer it according to His will, and you be accepting of that, and you follow Him in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But that's today's message. And like I said at the onset, I hope the message made some sense to you. That I know I've been guilty of, when I pray, I will put God in a little frame and say, God, I want you to answer it this way. But that's not how we should pray. It's truly not. But that's today's message. I'm out of time. I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.